I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round, to be back where the boys all know.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of NC Theater Stories. I'm your host, James Johnson. As you can hear, we have recorded this episode right in the midst of Hurricane Florence, which as we speak is ravaging North Carolina's coastline like a sloppy prom date. But this is a show about theater, and with that in mind, regardless of weather, zombie apocalypse, or if an orange orangutan has somehow gotten its paws in the nuclear codes, the show must go on. Ah, there goes our sound guy. You know, it might help if I close the window. Hold on. Neat. This week we have three special guests. Fayetteville-based actors Nikki Hart and Greg King will be joining us in just a few moments to discuss their upcoming production of Music City at the Cape Fear Regional Theater. And then later in the show, we will be joined by Temple Theater Artistic Director Peggy Taphorn, who will be telling us all about their show, 1776, a show that, against all good and logical sense, is opening exactly at the same time as a hurricane is touching down in our state. But before we get into that, I do need to address something. A little awkward. Let's see. In trying to schedule Peggy for an interview on this show, I initially was planning on contacting her by way of Facebook Messenger. Those who aren't familiar with Facebook's Messenger app might not know that it is used more than just for sending text messages, but it also has a calling feature. It is this feature which has now scarred me for life. For you see, upon opening my Messenger app, I became aware that I had apparently butt-dialed Miss Taphorn a long time ago, back in 2016. Not once, not twice, but three times. In a row. Which, yeah, that happens. That's embarrassing, but not the end of the world. However, in one of these calls, my butt decided to leave a message for Peggy. A voicemail message that I was unaware was being recorded. I'll play a little of that for you now.
Hey. There's a line. Other one. Hey.
I'm not sure what I am saying to myself or why I am talking to myself in that instance. I talk to myself a lot, so that part's not too surprising. But I'm not sure. When I was listening to this, I wasn't sure what I was listening to. It clearly sounds like water running when listening back to it. While I could think of a few things that might make that sound, I couldn't be absolutely certain that it was what it sounded like it was. That is until the very end of the message. Yep. She never responded, and this interview will be my first time talking to Peggy since leaving her that message. So, stay to the end for what promises to be a really awkward conversation. Now, two people who probably did not want to have to follow the sound of a toilet flushing, My first guests are actors Nicky Hart and Greg King. Both of these actors are longtime regulars of the Cape Fear Regional Theater stage. Mr. King most recently starred in a production of Sense and Sensibility at the Cape Fear Regional Theater, and Ms. Hart is coming fresh off winning a Prior Award for her starring role in the Gilbert Theater's Venus in Fur. Both of my guests will be starring in the new musical, Music City, which is having its world premiere at the Cape Fear Regional Theater on September 19th and will continue until October 7th. Please welcome the alluring Greg King and the brilliant Nicky Hart.
Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Wow. You guys didn't see it at home, but they came in on roller skates. It was amazing. Hey, guys, and welcome to the show. Both of you are starring in Music City, subtitled A Modern Country Musical. What can you tell us about this show?
Well, it's a really exciting new show about two young aspiring artists in Nashville. It's got a lot of great... J.T. Harding wrote the music. He has five top number one country hits, and that's very exciting for us.
It's got a lot of heart to it, and when I saw modern country musical and then got into the process, I kept feeling the theme was also like modern Americana, because it just feels so much like what we do in America. We have a dream, and we pursue a dream or a passion or whatever it is, and in this show particularly, we see singer-songwriters who are pursuing their, you know, their dream to make it big in Nashville. So it's a very Americana sort of show, modernized.
Cool. And in case I didn't bring this up before for our listeners, the person with the more womanly voice is Nikki, and the person with the more manly voice is Greg. But I just want to make sure I got that clear. Now, is this a jukebox musical?
No, it's not a jukebox musical. It's the music of J.T. Harding, and all the songs pretty much help propel the story. There's only a couple songs that are done as numbers in the show, but really all the songs help continue the storyline, and he's actually written a lot of new material that helps do that, some beautiful songs.
Yeah, I try to do some research on this show. It was sort of difficult to Google, because when you Google the words Music City, a whole bunch of other things come up. So is this a production? Is this original to North Carolina? Is this was it this premiere in New York?
They've been working on the show for 7 years. They've done several readings throughout the country. The last reading they did was in New York City, but this is actually a world premiere. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that's the exciting part about it. We're actually, you know.
That's awesome. So you guys are originating exactly. These parts. Mm-hmm. And speaking of parts, what are the parts that you guys are playing in this show?
Like I said, my character's name is Wynn. She's the bar owner, and her bar, the Wicked Tickle, is where all of these young singer-songwriters, like the characters that are in the story, they come in and they test out their songs. They play their own instruments and write their own songs, and they're testing their songs out on this sort of open mic night at the bar.
Okay. I want to apologize to our listeners. This is our first time doing a speakerphone call, so the connection's a little sketchy there. You're breaking up just a little bit. So is this show, do you think this show will be appreciated more by country music fans, or is this something that you think a lot of people who might not listen to country will enjoy it?
Yeah, I think any theater goer is going to love this show. It's got a great storyline. The music is based in country, but there's also other storylines in the show. There's a military theme. So I don't think it's geared just toward country music. I think it's also musical theater. People, anyone who loves a good musical will really love this because the storyline is so strong.
Yeah, and if you don't like musical theater, then you probably shouldn't be going to a theater.
That's true. But if you like country music, then you'll love this.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm sure. It's so the between the two of you, and you've done hundreds of shows together. Well, not necessarily together. How many shows have you guys done together?
Oh God,
we were talking about that the other
day.
We've
gone over this. Oh, what? Ragtime Company. Lend Me a Tenor.
Yes, Lend Me a Tenor.
I guess.
And a couple reviews or encores. Yeah. Probably five or six.
Five or six.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Is it now this one's being directed by the Cape Fear Regional Theater's new artistic director. Is this your first time being directed by her?
Actually, I've been directed by her in Sense and Sensibility, Mary Kate Burke. But yeah, and she's a really fun director. She's very lively. We all enjoy the rehearsal process with Mary Kate.
Yes. And it's my first time with Mary Kate doing a show at CFRT, having her direct. So.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of great things. A lot of great things. Now between the two of you, you have done, I'm guessing, hundreds of shows. That's just a rough estimate. But and because of this hurricane that is going to be ravishing North Carolina, this week's theme is the show must go on. So I was thinking, can you guys think of any examples of situations where everything that could have gone wrong went wrong, but the show continued regardless?
Well, I've got one example, which is actually pertinent to sort of the time period we're in right now. Here at Cape Fear Regional Theater, I was doing... what were we doing?
Chicago?
No, it wasn't Chicago. It was... It was another musical. Ray Kennedy was our director. Smokey Joe's Cafe.
Okay,
we were doing Smokey Joe's Cafe, and it was 9/11 happened. And we all came into rehearsal that night, and we sat and we talked, and we were discussing if we were even going to do the show. And we felt like we had to keep going. But that was one moment where everything sort of went wrong, and we were all a family. And that was a more serious story, but that happened during rehearsals of that show.
So. Yeah, it
went on.
You guys did a dedication at the end, I believe.
Yeah, we sure did. We sure did. And that was it really brought that cast together as a family, too. It was a moment I'll never forget. I may have forgotten the show, but I'll never forget.
Okay. So thank you. I was reminded of the one show that I should never forget. I don't know why I forgot. But I was doing Beauty and the Beast here at CFRT. I think it was 2005. And we, of course, at the very end of Beauty and the Beast, everyone turns back into humans. I played the armoire. So at the end of the show, I had to, with everyone else, rush back to my dressing room and become a human into a dress and a wig and everything outside of a dresser, an armoire. So I'm rushing back to the dressing room door. And I have Babette behind me, who's still in her non-human costume, and Mrs. Potts. And I try to open the door, and it's not opening. And we're standing there, and we're frantically pushing and pulling on the doorknob, and it was locked. So we're all standing there looking at each other. We basically had, I think, maybe 60 seconds before we all had to get back on stage for the finale, as we are... supposed to be human. And so we're standing there and we're all like, okay, what do? So we just basically kind of put on the clothes that we found on the floor that were outside of the office because it was near an office. And I think once I found a stage manager's pants, and I think that someone else had just like had turned stuff inside out. And we all went on stage looking like we just raided a thrift shop and tried to sing the finale without laughing because we all looked like we were homeless. And it was the most beautiful ending for a show I have ever done. And yeah, it was quite a finale. So that was a show must go on, you know, yeah. You just find clothes and the show went on. We ended real big. Bo will never forget it. She reminded us that that's not how you're supposed to look at the end. And we were like, we know. Yeah. Oh, we know.
Casual Friday at the Beast Castle.
Yeah, right.
And, I remember actually, and Nikki was in this, seeing Cinderella. And there was, a pyrotechnic thing that went wrong and a portion of the stage catching on fire. And I thought, oh, no, this was like right before the intermission. I thought, oh, they're going to end the show right here. They got to deal with this. And then this very, very resourceful, I guess, stage manager, someone ran on stage with a she put out the fire with a fire extinguisher. She got a big applause from the audience.
Yes, that was, I remember that now. That was one of those shows where we all kind of looked at each other and yes, the stage manager saved the day, and we went on with a charred, I think it was a banister or something that was on the set, and we, from that point on, we were just like, oh well, you know. But yes, that was fun times, good times.
All right. Well, I want to thank you guys so much for. I'm guessing you guys are you continuing to rehearse throughout the hurricane?
We sure are. We're rehearsing tonight, and we're touch and go for the next couple days.
Oh man!
So we added a couple hours onto today's rehearsal, and then we'll see what happens Thursday and Friday.
Well, just be safe. You know, the show must go on, but it's not going to be able to go on if you guys get flooded or some sort of terrible accident. So be safe, and really looking forward to seeing this show. Those who want to go see it, they can go to cfrt.org to order tickets. It is Music City going on from September 19th to October 7th. And it should be a blast. Thank you guys so much. When we come back, Temple Theater Artistic Director Peggy Tapper. My next guest is a darling of the Broadway stage who has served as Artistic Director for Sanford's Temple Theater for 11 seasons. That 11th season will be starting this Thursday, September 13th, with the opening of Temple Theater's production of the smash hit musical 1776. Also, I owe her a super awkward apology. For 1776, a show about the founding of our country, Peggy is serving as both director, choreographer, producer, and playing the role of Abigail Adams. So, after that, founding an entire country doesn't sound so hard. Please welcome the human hurricane, Peggy Tapper.
And resolve, not one damn thing do we solve. Piddle, twiddle, and resolve. Nothing's ever solved in complicated...
Hi, Peggy, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
I need to address something I had mentioned at the top of the show to our listeners, but that I'm not sure you're aware of. I really hope you're not aware of. I'm not going to make you relive this experience if you manage to avoid it, because I think that I don't think I could handle putting myself through that, much less you. But before setting up this interview through email, I had planned on shooting you a message through Facebook Messenger. You may already know what I'm talking about. When opening my messenger, I saw that I had apparently butt dialed you a long time ago in 2016. Not once, not twice, but three times, which is embarrassing enough. But apparently during one of those calls, my butt dial left a message. Have you heard this message?
No, what's the message?
Okay, well, I'm very happy that you've not heard this message. That's all I wanted to know. No further questions.
Excellent. No, well, had I heard the message, would I be hanging up now? Is that why you're worried?
I was thinking, you know, there's a chance she might not agree to this interview.
I've worked in the theater all of my adult life. I'm pretty resilient, so.
Now
I'm going to have to go back and research and see what this message is.
No, you must delete your messenger, delete your Facebook altogether. Well, I apparently was using the restroom, which I...
That's hysterical.
I thought, oh, wow, that sounds kind of like I might be indisposed, but I'm sure it's not that. And then there's a flush at the end. Easily.
Well, I've had worse reviews, so.
Easily one of my top three most embarrassing moments. So and that's saying a lot.
Excellent, and we haven't even really met yet, so that's something to look forward to.
Yeah. All right. So now that I've addressed that, so I've gotten out of the way.
Excellent.
Now. On to another example of embarrassing history. Let's talk about America's embarrassing history.
Okay, well, that might take a while.
You guys are doing 1776, a musical which some might refer to as a prequel to Hamilton.
That's right.
What made you guys want to do this show?
Well, I've been involved in 1776 before just as an actress, and I love the way the story is told. I think it's very timely and relevant to what we're going through today in a sort of morally, politically, and countrywide sort of divide. And it reminds us of why it's so wonderful to live in this country and the rights that we have that across, you know, the rest of the world that people don't enjoy such rights. And I think the most fascinating part is that it was written in the 1960s. So, you know, talk about another time when people were going through personal and political divide. Mm-hmm. And the fact that this show won the Tony in 1969 over shows like Zorba and Promises, Promises and Hair, believe it or not, just is a testament to how well it's written and how well the story is told. I really consider it a play with music. And so it's taken me a while to be able to afford to produce this kind of show because it's a cast of 26 people and 24 of them are men. And we are doing it true to the script. So we are doing it with traditional costumes and wigs and walking sticks and shoes with buckles. And so it's a massive show to produce. And I wanted to make sure that we had the budget to produce it well. I'm very happy to say I think we have done that. I can't imagine a cast that I could have assembled that would be any better than the 26 people that are on the stage for this one. So it was those two things. I was waiting for a time when the Temple budget would be able to afford to produce a show like this. And I've been here now 11 years, so I feel like I've gotten to know the talent pool. And so I've been able to pull in actors from Wilmington, from Greensboro, from Raleigh, from Durham, and to add to that mix, I have pulled in some other friends from Pittsburgh and Chicago and St. Louis to kind of round out the cast. And so it was all those things combined to tell this beautiful story that I think is timely in this political state that we're in. And I also just love the story. I think it's beautifully written. I think it's true to the historical accuracy, because a lot of it was taken from diaries and transcripts of the Second Continental Congress. And I just like it to be held up as an example of how very diverse, very well-educated, very erudite men risked their lives and their personal economies, and but they could have debate, and then they would have to figure out how to sacrifice and how to compromise, and they gave us the birth of this beautiful nation.
So, from doing this show, would you say that things in our government have always been as insane, or as they've been lately? Or that you would say that our founding fathers would be rolling in their graves?
Well, I think that there are a lot of quotable moments in 1776, but, you know, I think one of them is Ben Franklin's. He says, you know, people aren't going to think that we're demigods. We're just humans. We're just men doing the best that we can. And so I would like to think that he could appreciate, you know, the humor and the passion and the divide, and again, have to bring it around to, again, how are we going to compromise? What are we going to sacrifice to all get along? I feel like they did their debating and arguing, and they may not have, you know, ended up friends after this process, but they had respect for each other. And that's the lesson that we need to take away from this. We don't all have to agree, but we have to respect each other. And we have to be able to continue to communicate and compromise and move forward as a people, whether or not we agree with what's going on. Once the decisions are made, we do the best with what the results have to be.
Oh, wow. Now this cast, this is Gavin Palmer. Am I pronouncing that name
Gavin
at all right?
Gavin Palmer. He's
so
actually
I got everything
just
in
walking
name
into
wrong.
My office. So.
Oh, cool. Hi, Gavin.
If you'd like to talk to him, he is here.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah.
I also have Jacob Barton, who's playing Edward Rutledge, which is a very pivotal role in the show. He's the one who has the big, almost 11 o'clock number, Molasses to Rum. And he's playing the delegate from South Carolina. And it's South Carolina in this production that brings up the slavery clause that was actually in the Constitution. That he sings the song about that, which then he's the state that is the holdout, and he's the state that makes them cross out to make slavery illegal in the United States of America. So he has a very pivotal role as well.
Wow.
And a beautiful song. So,
right, you are playing a role in this play as well. You are playing Abigail Adams, am I correct?
Right.
So what made you decide that, you know, this is a show that I'm not only... Am I going to be the artistic director, but I am going to...
Because I'm a glutton for punishment. I love the show. I really do. It's one of my favorite shows in the musical theater canon, because I believe it is so well written and so well told. And as a director, choreographer, Abigail doesn't... She's not part of the action. Her only interaction is really from John Adams, her husband's imagination, really. They wrote thousands of letters back and forth. So he and I, although we never physically connect on stage, just talk to each other through these sort of soliloquy letters, mostly through song. But that means that the rest of the time I can, you know, boss the guys around and tell them what to do. So I didn't have to, like, do big dance numbers around myself, you know, because she's not in those scenes.
Yeah, so still.
It's actually the perfect show to actually direct and choreograph and be in as Abigail, because I was able to do all those three jobs without really compromising much.
Yeah, you're still putting yourself through a lot, and that is insane, but... And that is...
True.
If you're willing to do it... It may be more profitable for the temple. I don't know if they.
Yeah, exactly. That's also one of the reasons. You know, I can negotiate my salary. So. This way, it got me really cheap.
Nice. You got a deal. You got a director, choreographer, and a producer all in one.
Exactly.
So. Now, a lot of people have seen who have heard of 1776 may have heard of the film first. The film was sort of a
correct
make hit. How does this show compare to the film?
Well, it's close. It's I won't say it's verbatim to the film, but it is certainly a very similar telling of the story. Obviously, we don't have the cinemascopic capabilities as they did in the film, but everything else, most of the dialogue is verbatim, and you know, all of the numbers are the same. So there's really not much difference at all. I think the biggest difference is that, as you know, in live theater, every night's a little bit different. And as humans, you know, my cast, some of them didn't ever even see the movie. So, you know, there are interpretations that are a little bit different. But as far as the actual script and the songs, it's very similar.
Now, I've listened to the soundtrack to the stage version, and I will say I think the songs do sound a lot better when sung by, you know, actual Broadway talent, actual, like,
right.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyone...
And did you listen to the original, or did you listen to the revival with Data, with Brent Spiner as John Adams?
I think I listened to the original. Is the revival even better? Right.
It's just different, you know.
It's got Brent Spiner in it. It's got to be better, for God's sakes. He's Data.
Exactly. And I love Data. But I like the original better, just because that's the one that I grew up with, you know, and change is hard.
Yeah.
But I think they're both good versions. I didn't get to see the revival. I didn't get to see it. And I wasn't around for the original. Well, I actually was around, but I didn't get to see that either.
Babies rarely appreciate theater.
Exactly, right. So for me, I grew up listening to the original version and then seeing the movie multiple times. And I also did have the pleasure of working with John Cullum, who plays Rutledge in the movie three times throughout my career. So I really like the fact that he's in the movie, and I can go, oh, I know him. You know, that's always fun.
Now, you guys are literally opening on the day, I believe, the hurricane is supposed to touch down in
yes.
North Carolina.
Well, I like a challenge. You know, some people like to do it the easy way. I figure if you're going to celebrate, you know, the birth of a nation, why not do it during a hurricane?
The theme of today's episode was the show must go on, because of course we have this hurricane going on. So I wanted to ask you, is this your best example of how even though you're literally having to batten down the hatches, you are putting on a show? Is that your best example of that, or can you think of any others?
Well, we have done a couple of shows that people thought we were crazy to do. One was we were doing a Buddy Holly performance, and it was another stormy day, and we were doing two performances. So we did, you know, the 5 p.m. performance, and it went off without a hitch. It was sold out. It was a fundraiser, actually, for the temple. And, you know, everybody showed up, and we had a great time, and then we reset the stage. And we were doing the later evening performance, and they got through about half of the opening number, and a big thunder boom happened, and all the lights went out. So we got out the flashlights and started the emergency procedures, and then the audience started clapping like they were at a rock concert. And so I got on stage and said, okay, do you all still want to hear the show? And everybody's like, yes! So we had flashlights and put some, you know, fake candles across the front of the stage. We opened the doors because it happened to be in the middle of the summer and it was hot as Hades. So we'd get a little breeze going and have a little, you know, a little bit of, you know, ambient light from the stars and the moon. And we did the show. And obviously it was acoustic because, you know, there was no electricity to plug the instruments into. So we did the whole first act that way, and in the meantime, my technical director and I ran down to one of the stores here in Sanford and bought a used generator and came back and plugged what we could in and did the second act, and literally the cast was taking their bows and the audience was on their feet. It was really cool, actually.
Wow.
It was a really fun experience. As the cast is taking their bows, the freaking power goes back on.
No.
But that was good. because then everybody could, you know, unload with lights on and go home. But people still talk about that, how cool of an experience that was and how much fun they had and how the actors really all just did. You know, another beautiful thing about the Temple Theater is that it's built as a vaudeville house. So it's really built to not have amplification. So you could definitely hear everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, it has the original tin ceilings, so you can certainly hear singers. You can certainly hear the actors. When we do plays, we don't even use microphones. And so to do kind of an acoustic version of Buddy Holly was just, it was really fun. So I'd rather not do the acoustic version of 1776. But again, if ever a show had to be done by candlelight, you know, this one I think would stand up to it. So
thank God you guys weren't
using... The show will go on.
At least you guys weren't using, like, canned music like you have. That would have been terrible. Yeah, okay, I guess it's all a cappella.
Exactly, okay. Yeah, now we have a harmonica and some drumsticks. Go.
I think sometimes the audience just relishes when things go wrong. It's you know, it makes it sort of a unique memory that they share. Sort of one of the fun things about seeing something live. I believe...
Right, and you know... I've learned a lot about people's response to weather since I moved to North Carolina from New York. Because, you know, in New York, the show happens whether, you know, half the cast can get there or not. Because a lot of people rely on, you know, subway, public transportation. So they're not worried about people driving and all that stuff that we are concerned with here. But my first winter here, there was literally, it was supposed to snow. Well, okay. So I come to work, and it hadn't snowed, and then at about 10:30 in the morning, it started to snow, but nobody else showed up for work, and so I started calling, you know, the rest of the staff. I was like, where is everybody? And they're like, oh, no, it's snowing today. I was like, but you didn't know that when you were supposed to be here. So I have also learned that weather is different here in North Carolina, and I respect that, so... anybody who shows up this weekend, they're gonna be intrepid theater goers anyway. So I don't think they'll mind seeing 1776 if we have to do it by candlelight because they're up for an adventure, and so are we.
Well, I want to thank you for taking my call, and because I totally understand if you wouldn't.
If you ever need to, you know, feel the need to butt dial me again, just, you know.
Again, very sorry. Profusely sorry. I want you guys to have a great opening night. Again, the show is 1776. It is playing at in Sanford at the Temple Theater, September 13th to September 30th. To buy tickets, go to templeshows.com. This weekend would be a great time to get tickets because there's a very good chance that we won't have a North Carolina after this, so we will see. Hopefully we all survive.
But, exactly.
Well, thank you so much, and you have a great rehearsal. Here comes the story of the hurricane. The many authorities came to blame. I want to thank my guests for making it out by way of boat and seaplane. I hope all of our listeners stay safe this weekend and remember to close your windows. If you absolutely must brave the weather and see some new shows this week, besides 1776 and Music City, you should make it out to Raleigh to see Once at Theatre Raleigh. Raleigh audiences are a bit more adverse to drowning than some audiences, so Theater Raleigh has announced that they have canceled their September 13th through September 16th performances, but they are making up for it by adding September 21st through September 23rd performances. Also, if you want to see a North Carolina show that is a little further up north, you can still catch the extended run of the Triad Stage current performance of And Then There Were None by Agatha Christie. The Triad Stage is, of course, located in Greensboro. That show is currently running and will have its last performance on October 7th. After October 7th, the show's name takes on a more literal meaning. Thank you again. Please share us on Facebook and your various social media platforms. Listen to old episodes at nctheaterstories.com. Turn off the lights. Fade to black. For I'm longing for dear old Broadway,
longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the